On your mark, the announcer said. Lando could sense a blanketing hush through the stadium as the spectators craned forward, staring at the chutes and waiting for the blobs to emerge. A loud electronic tone reverberated through the air like a bullet hitting a brass bell, and suddenly the gates flew open. The ramps tilted forward, spilling the multicolored blobs down the lubricated chutes. 14 syrupy masses tumbled and oozed pell-mell down the slides, striking the low walls and slithering as fast as they could to the bottom of the ramp. The blobs showed a range of colors, primarily grayish-green, but laced with bright hues. Variegated strands of vermilion stood out on one, turquoise on another, lime green on a third. Each blob had a holographic number imprinted in its protoplasm. The number somehow stayed upright no matter which way the blob oriented itself. With the chutes equally lubricated, all 14 blobs struck the bottom of the ramp at about the same time. When the low walls no longer separated the tracks, the frantic blobs began to make their way helter-skelter around each other, gushing forward into the blobstacle course. One contender, Blob 11, a dark green specimen laced with a striking amethyst pattern, burst onto the flat of the track with pseudopods already extended, as if trying to scramble away the moment it hit the bottom of the ramp. It squirted forward, clenching itself together and oozing its body core ahead. The amethyst blob had pulled a small lead by the time it hit the first obstacle, a tall metal screen with a wide mesh. Blob 11 hurled itself onto the mesh grid with its full body and began to push its entire self through, dribbling in 100 tiny segments out the other side, where it flowed its gelatinous mass back together again. It managed to push itself halfway through before the next blob struck a different part of the screen. Lando decided to cheer for the amethyst blob, though he had no money riding on the race. He still liked to root for winners. The second blob took a different tactic, concentrating its body into a narrow streamer that spouted through one of the mesh holes, pouring its mass to the other side. The amethyst blob finished reassembling itself on the bottom of the grid, took no time to rest, and pushed onward. By this time, all the other blobs were struggling to get through the first obstacle. The amethyst blob frantically mushed ahead, increasing its lead as if fleeing in terror. "Go!" Lando shouted. The second major obstacle proved more formidable. A tall ratline made of chain links led up to another steep, lubricated slide that dropped into a sharp, banked curve. Blob 11 reached the bottom of the ratline and extended a pseudopod up to the first loop of chain, wrapping the jelly-like tendril onto the flexible rung and extending another pseudopod again and again until it flowed like a tentacled amoeba, desperately hauling its amorphous form upward faster than gravity could slurp it back down. The amethyst blob slipped, and a large segment of its body mass drooled downward, barely connected to the main core by a thin stream of mucus. According to the official rules posted in front of Lando's seat, the entire body mass of a blob had to get to the finishing circle. It could not leave portions of itself behind. The second and third blobs reached the bottom of the rat line, also trying to scramble up. The amethyst blob hovered on the rat line, sagging as it worked to siphon its precariously balanced appendage back into the main core. The chain links began to work through the soft organic material, but the blob moved faster, finally drawing itself up and hooked over another loop of chain. Behind it, the next two blobs managed to ascend to the second level of chain loops. Back at the first blobstacle, the last of the blobs squeezed through the mesh and began creeping at top speed toward the rat line. Blob 11 reached the top of the rat lines and, coiling its mass, shot onto the steep, greased slide, rolling and spinning and tumbling. Its holographic number remained upright all the while. The blob reached the high-banked curve at the bottom of the slide, rebounded, and gushed toward the next blobstacle. The crowd was roaring and shouting now. Lando felt exhilaration burst through him. He decided he'd have to return to Umgull when he had more time to relax, to make a few real bets.
"Excuse me, sir, but are we expressing enthusiasm for Blob 11?
"Yes, 3PO.
"Thank you, sir. I just wanted to be certain."
The droid paused, then amplified his voice.
"Go, number 11.
The second and third blobs reached the top of the rat line simultaneously, and both leaped onto the lubricated slide, squirting down at an alarming rate. Many of the spectators jumped out of their seats and screamed with excitement. The two blobs tumbled next to each other, grappling with pseudopods and rolling. The steep, banked curve rose up in front of them like a wall.
"Oh, I can't watch," 3PO said. "They're going to crash."
The two blobs both struck the corner at the same instant and splattered into each other, forming one giant ball. The crowd roared with absolute delight. "Total fusion," the announcer cried. The spectators continued to cheer. The two blobs had combined into one much larger mass, and they seemed to be working at cross purposes, trying to lumber over to the side of the track and out of the way of the other oncoming blobs. Meanwhile, the amethyst blob increased its lead. "Those two are out of the race," Lando muttered. R2 returned, bleeping with excitement.
"Excuse me, sir," 3PO said, "but R2 has located our man, Timo. He has indeed come to the races and placed a very large bet. We have his seating assignment. We can go see him now if you wish."
Lando was startled to be interrupted during the race. Then he jumped to his feet. "We found him already?"
"Yes, sir. And as I said, he has placed a very large bet, if you take my meaning, sir."
"Let me guess," Lando said. "On Blob 11, right?"
"Correct, sir."
"Looks like he's done it again," Lando said. "Let's go." They pushed past other spectators who had not bothered to take seats, then emerged into the flagstoned halls. Lando allowed R2 to lead, puttering down near empty interior corridors. Lando was reluctant, wanting to see the outcome of the competition. "Hurry up, R2. The little droid hummed downhill toward the lower levels of the sinkhole stadium. Through a graffiti-scrawled archway, they passed into the section of least expensive seats, filled with desperate-looking people, the ones who had staked everything on guessing the winner of just one race. Somehow Lando hadn't expected a winner as lucky as Timo to be in the low-rent section. Maybe he was trying to keep a low profile. Though support pillars and debris screens crowded the view this far down in the crater, Lando could see that Blob 11 had increased its lead substantially, a full obstacle ahead of the remaining 9 blobs. Farther back on the track, 2 blobs lay motionless and rubbery in a bed of desiccant, too slow to cross the deadly obstacle before they suffered terminal dehydration. The surviving blobs worked at stringing themselves through a sequence of metal rings dangling on ropes, each swaying and trying to extend a pseudopod to the next ring before the pendulum motion stretched it to the breaking point. The amethyst blob had already crossed the desiccant trap and the rings and was now oozing precariously over a long bed of sharp spikes that continually poked through its outer membrane. Tireless, Blob 11 threw itself forward with wild abandon, not heeding the spears jabbing through its body. R2 whistled, and 3PO pointed to a man 3 benches down.
"General Calrissian, R2 says this is the man we want."
Lando squinted at Timo. Young and attractive, but with a fidgety, furtive look, he had a disreputable air. Though his blob was winning by a wide margin, he did not seem elated. The other people around him cheered or wailed, depending on where they had cast their bets. But Timo just sat and waited, as if he already knew the outcome. Blob 11 dragged the last of itself off the bed of nails, tugging to remove a few clinging strands from the spike points. The nails had slowed it to a crawl just in front of the next obstacle, a slowly turning propeller blade with razor edges. The amethyst blob poised itself, but seemed too panicked to plan the best way through the spinning blades. It squirted forward, elongating to gain speed, then shoved its body into the gap between the whirring fan blades. About a quarter of the blob made it through before the sharp edges slashed through, bisecting it. Mucus squirted but clung in one long liquid thread on the propeller blade. One segment of the blob waited safely on the other side of the blobstacle. The remaining 3/4 hunched, then lunged through the next gap in the blades. This time, half of its mass passed successfully through, and the second segment oozed forward to rejoin the first small mass. The rest of Blob 11 made it through with only a nick in its posterior portion, but as the fan blades spun around again, droplets of slime on the edges congealed into a small lump and dropped off, rolling to safety, where all the portions conjoined once more. The crowd cheered. Some of the losers in the lower levels began throwing drink containers against the guard mesh in front of them. Blue sparks flickered from the electrified wires. Timo hunched forward in his seat, keeping one hand in his pocket. Lando wondered if he carried some kind of weapon. Timo looked around, blinking his eyes in alarm as if he suspected he was being watched. Lando winced, knowing that his fine clothes and rich cape made him appear painfully out of place in the lower levels. Timo noticed Lando and the 2 droids, tensed, then forced himself to watch the end of the race. Blob 11 approached the final blobstacle, hauling pseudopods over the rungs of a ladder as it dripped down. It seemed burned to exhaustion, but still it pushed on as if demons were chasing it. its bright amethyst tracings had faded to mere speckles. Reaching the top of the ladder, the blob descended into an array of wide funnels that had exit holes of varying sizes, many of which were sealed shut. The amethyst blob thrust extensions of itself into various funnels, poking around until it found one with a large enough hole in the bottom. Behind, the nearest other blob began negotiating the bed of nails in front of the whirling propeller. Choosing an acceptable funnel, Blob 11 dumped itself into the cone and pushed. A pasty stream ribboned out the narrow end, rolling and piling on the ground as the blob recollected itself. The thin strand of blob went on and on, coming out in spurts near the end, until finally the tail plopped out of the funnel. Blob 11's entire body shimmered as it trembled with exhaustion. It charged toward the finishing circle and looked as if it intended to keep going. The crowd continued to cheer, but the race was clearly over. Lando watched Timo. The other man adjusted something in his pocket. Blob 11 came to a sudden halt in the finishing circle. Blob wranglers in coveralls rushed onto the track with wide shovels and a levitating barrow to scoop up the exhausted thing and return it to the blob pens for rehydration and a long rest. The audience then began to root for which blobs would place and show. Timo slid out of his seat and flicked a quick glance from side to side, but Lando had already stepped behind a support pillar. Timo jostled the spectators still watching the rest of the race, making his way toward one of the cashiering stations where other winners had already queued up. Most of the winners jumped up and down, chattering with shared excitement. Even the more reserved ones wore broad grins. Timo, though, showed only a metallic, unreadable expression. He seemed very nervous. Lando and the two droids eased themselves into the line, butting through the crowd. Timo kept glancing back, but he did not see them again. Over the loudspeakers, the announcer listed the order of winners in the blob race. Lando pulled the cable jacks to the sheet crystal Jedi detectors out of his sleeves and plugged them into the power pack on R2's body. He slid the flat paddles into the palms of his hands, ready for a chance when he could scan Timo to confirm whether or not he had the bluish aura of a possible trainee for Luke's academy. 3PO seemed very excited. "Why don't we just go up to him and tell him the good news, General Calrissian?"
"Because something's fishy here," he said, "and I want to make sure before we get ourselves in too deep."
"Fishy?" 3PO asked, then looked around as if to locate any aquatic spectators at the blob races.
"His turn is next at the terminal. When he keys in his betting chit, it'll take a minute to process and cash in his winnings. He's effectively trapped until the transaction is done, unless he wants to throw away a lot of credits." Of course, Lando remembered, cheating was punishable by death on Umgal, and Timo might be happy enough just to get away with his life. What had he been hiding in his pocket?
As Timo stepped up to the terminal and inserted his chit, the announcer broke through the background noise to remind everyone once again of next week's races in honor of the visiting Duchess from Dargol. Timo flinched visibly, but keyed in his ID code and inserted his account card to collect his winnings. "Come on," Lando said, stepping out of line and moving toward the cashiering station. He flicked the power switch on the scanning pack. Its warm-up hum vanished in the background noise. Timo looked intently at the display on the cashiering station, punching in his access code and transferring his winnings as quickly as he could. Lando stepped up beside him and swept either side of the man with the detector paddles before Timo realized what was happening. Timo looked up, saw Lando holding something that might have been a weapon, saw the two droids that might have been armed mechanical bodyguards, and panicked just as the terminal ejected his account card and called for the next customer. Timo snatched his card and fled, scattering a pack of Ugnaughts as he ran into the crowded stands.
"Hey, Timo, stop!" yelled Lando.
The man was swallowed up in the surge of spectators exiting the stands after the race.
"Sir, aren't we going to follow him?" 3PO asked.
Other spectators had turned to stare. The next winner, grinning and oblivious, stepped up to the cashiering station.
"No," Lando shook his head. "We've got a reading for now. Let's check it out."
In a shadowed corner, not caring if anyone saw what they were doing, since nobody would understand it anyway, Lando watched the power pack of the Imperial detector reconstruct a holographic aura mapping of Timo. As Lando had unfortunately expected, Timo's reading showed a perfectly normal outline. No bluish haze of Jedi potential, nothing at all out of the ordinary.
"He's a fraud." Threepio seemed disappointed.
Can you be certain, sir? I should point out that many people were standing around, and they could have disturbed the readings. You also scanned him very quickly, and none too closely. Remember, too, that the detector itself is extremely old and may not be completely reliable.
Lando gave the protocol droid a skeptical frown, but 3PO's arguments did have some merit. He should take the trouble to be sure. Besides, Lando was enjoying himself on Umgal so far.
All right, we'll check him out a little further.
Relieved that the New Republic would pick up the tab, Lando relaxed in his spacious hotel accommodations. From the dispenser, he ordered a cold, punch-like drink popular on Umgal and went to the balcony to watch thick evening mists curl along the streets. He sipped the drink, unable to remove his perplexed frown or smooth his creased forehead.
"Could I get you anything else, sir, or shall I power down for the time being?" 3PO asked.
"Please do," he said, realizing how nice it would be to keep the protocol droid quiet for a while. "But leave the circuit open in case R2 tries to get back in touch."
"Certainly, sir."
Posing as a maintenance droid, R2 had gone poking around the blob stables to see if he could uncover anything out of the ordinary. The little astromech droid had tuned his communication frequency to Lando's comlink so he could send a message. Now, with 3PO quiet, Lando could finally think. He went over to the room's courtesy terminal and punched in a request for information. The screen automatically displayed a complete schedule for the next 3 weeks of blob racing, but Lando selected another menu. The Umgullion Racing Commission was fanatical about being forthcoming with all information relating to the races and the blobs themselves. A sample of protoplasm was taken from each blob before and after any race, then subjected to rigorous analysis, the results of which were available to the public. With help from the information assistant built into the terminal, Lando was able to collate the before and after tests for all of Timo's high-stakes winners. He didn't know what he was looking for, but he suspected some drug used to urge the blobs to greater speed, some incentive that would affect only the winners. "Run a correlation," Lando said. "Is there anything unusual about these particular winners? Something found in these blobs, but not in the others?" Timo bet only once in a while, and if his manipulation was subtle enough, Lando could imagine that the Umgullion Racing Commission might have missed a tiny modification. But Lando knew that one variable tied these particular winners together apart from the other blobs.